Let's come to our God now in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, we come before you today to give up ourselves before you. Teach us your ways. Give us hearts to learn your ways and to walk in them. For you are the God of our salvation. Teach us to wait on you. Lord, do not remember our sins and transgressions. For your Son has died on our behalf, and he has taken our sins with himself to the grave. Teach us your steadfast love and faithfulness so that we may keep your covenant and be faithful to your testimonies. Lord, grant to us clean hands and a pure heart so that we would stand in your holy place and pursue us with your goodness and mercy so that we may have today a foretaste of dwelling with you forever. Bless your word. We pray that you would grant to us what we need to understand it, that we, Lord, would marvel again at the illuminating work of your Spirit, that we would not take your word for granted. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll read the first part of it, Psalm 119 and verses 1 to 24. But our focus of this reading will be upon verse 18. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 24, again, focusing on verse 18 of the psalm for this morning. Hear now the reading of God's holy word. Under Aleph, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Gimel, deal beautifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And that ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May he bless it in our hearing this morning. I encourage you to have the psalm once again open before you, Psalm 119, as we'll be looking at that together, focusing on that one verse, verse 18, but then seeing it in the context, the rest of the psalm. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, often we associate certain words with events. Think about days and times in the calendar, like December 25th, or July 1, or your birthday. What words do you associate with these? Well, for December, we might think of Christmas, snow, family get-togethers. July 1, we think of fireworks, long weekends, building that deck. And for your birthday, you think of presents, friends, and ice cream. We do the same thing when it comes to thinking about the event of Pentecost. For Pentecost, we think of the disciples hiding in the upper room in Jerusalem. The sound of rushing wind and the fire, the tongues of fire that appeared on the apostles' heads. We think of special gifts given to the church, like speaking in tongues and prophecy and the ability to work miracles. These were extraordinary things that had happened for a purpose. But Pentecost perhaps doesn't remind us so much of the lasting gifts that were given still to this day. Why did the Holy Spirit give miraculous gifts like tongues? What role did they have? Well, they had a very specific purpose. If we think of not only tongues, but miracles and the other supernatural gifts. For one, the outpouring of gifts like prophecy, miracles, and tongues were specifically intended to mark the rule of Christ himself. They showed that Jesus was Lord. Because Pentecost isn't only about the Holy Spirit. It's about Jesus. It was intended to tell us more about Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And for that reason, these gifts also had an important function of confirming the preaching of the apostles. It had that confirmation side of it, that Jesus had risen, that he was God, and that his word was true. But these special gifts only lasted for a time. They had no permanent presence in the church after the apostles finished the New Testament canon and had gone on into glory. For example, we don't read in the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, any reference to the future regulation of these supernatural gifts. As Paul was leaving this world, his parting words to Timothy were 2 Timothy 2 or 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Often the miraculous gifts were only given intermittently in the history of the Bible. We only have a handful of occurrences which lasted usually for a generation, and then went away. These were extraordinary times. These were gifts that were not meant to be permanent during these days. The Spirit gave temporary gifts, only lasting for a short time. But the Holy Spirit has given gifts to us that continue. Namely, the gift of the Spirit Himself. He's a wonderful gift. And the Holy Spirit has also given us gifts that are more permanent. One of the most common gifts of the Spirit is the gift of illumination. He turns the light on His Word. He illuminates our minds. He warms our hearts toward Christ. He enlightens our minds to enable us to know and see and grasp and apply God's will to our lives. And so I call you to reflect on the prayer of verse 18 of this well-known Psalm, Psalm 119, and to consider 2 points for this morning's sermon under the theme, the joys of illumination by God's Spirit. First of all, the wonder of being able to see. And then secondly, the wonderful things which are seen. So first of all, the wonder of being able to see. Well, this morning for Pentecost Sunday, we want to consider the wonder of this gift of illumination by looking at the longest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119. This psalm is extolling the blessings of God's Word. And sometimes we just think of it as the longest psalm in the Bible. But why? Why is it the longest psalm in the Bible? Why couldn't David just devote 10 verses instead of 176 verses talking about the law? Well, you should note, as you probably did this morning, that each section begins with a letter. And these are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If you look at your Bibles, you can see that. Let's just look through that for a minute. Psalm 119. The first letter is Aleph. Then it moves on to Beth. Gimel is the next one. Daleth. Hey. Vav. Zion. Heth. Taith. Yod. Kaf. Lamed. Mim. Nun. Samech. Ayin. Pi. Tsade, Quof, Resh, Sheen, and Tau. These are the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And each of these sections begins with that letter in the original Hebrew. All these verses have that corresponding letter. But the psalmist is not just elaborating for the sake of being elaborate. Yes, it was for memorization. That was the purpose of it. It's written this long to reflect on the glory of the Word of God. Every verse has something new and invigorating to say about the Scriptures. And by it, we get to know the richness of God's character. And so as you look at verse 18, you note that this is a prayer. What is the prayer? It's not, give me a clearer Bible. It's not, give me an easier Bible to understand. No, open my eyes. The prayer is not, show me some new instant revelation besides what the Bible has. No. Make me see the wonderful things of your law, your revelation. David, in his prayer and meditation on the law, admits that he is lost without the constant presence of the Holy Spirit. For don't forget what Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 21, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. He prays that the Spirit would take away the veil of his heart, that he may understand the Word And the word here for wonderful things, the word for wonderful things means some things that are difficult to understand. That's what that word means. Now, that's quite a bit different from the way that some people speak today, especially those who may criticize us for our views. We live in a culture of the immediate. People want instant messages. They want quick answers and quick results. And thus, it might be more exciting to be able to say, God came to me in a dream and told me to say this or to believe in this. It's considered by some to be more spiritual or more exciting or more personal to speak about having direct revelation from God rather than through Bible revelation. To some people, it's a lot more convincing to say, God told me to say this, instead of the Bible tells me to say this. It's much more painful and takes a lot more work to study and to carefully follow the written word. And thus, some are more attracted to the idea that they can experience personal and immediate revelation from God. That's more exciting. But the studying of the Bible by comparison, that's just too difficult and cumbersome. It may even be considered boring. But the joy and blessing that comes from the Lord is when our eyes are opened to the truth. The Bible is hard to understand. The Word of God is like a sealed book. Don't we even as believers find that to be true? That's not the Bible's fault. That's our fault. We're blind to it. We're dead to it. By nature, we're like the Jews who had their minds veiled to Moses whenever the law of God was being read, as the Apostle Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians 3. There are parts of the Bible that are hard to understand. But that's not God's fault. That's ours. And so we admit that the Bible's hard to understand. We admit it takes a lot of work to open our Bible to a text and to consider what it means. But the Spirit, you see, is abundantly promised to us. We're encouraged today by this Pentecost blessing. For example, Ephesians 1 says that the Spirit who is freely given to us is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. Ephesians 1:17. He helps us to have clear insight into Scripture. The Spirit also has been given that we might see the glorious wonders of our Emmanuel, God with us. He helps us to understand the extent of God's love for us in His Son. You think of that whole Ephesians 1 passage, the way that it elaborates on all of this. Ephesians 1 continues to say that the Spirit has been given to us so that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The Spirit of God works to illumine and to transform us. And it makes us, and He makes us to see. As you look back at this past week, congregation, how many times have you had your Bible open? How often have you been in the Word during this past month, month of May? During the last months before that, since the beginning of this year? Can you speak of how much of a priority the Bible has in your life? Do you read the Bible personally? Every day, and in your family life? Do you have that same zeal for the Word as David speaks of here? Well, if you're a believer in Christ, You have been given the Holy Spirit. Don't neglect the gift of the Spirit, especially this gift of illumination, because you're not going to understand very much and you're not going to grow very much if you don't read your Bible. This prayer of David is not going to have much traction in your heart if your Bible's just collecting dust. And the thing is, too, it may also take time to grow. It doesn't come instantly. But growth is painful. Discernment doesn't come overnight. It involves your mind. It involves your understanding. But when you pay attention to the Word and have your soul illumined by the will of God, you will grow. And you will be pleasing to God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to pray this prayer. Oh Lord, open my eyes. Help me to see. You can't be praying this prayer and be in God's Word just once a week. You can't fumble through the Bible here and there. You can't neglect the feeding of your soul. You need to be daily in the Word. You need to be in the Word every day. Even if it's sporadically throughout the day. You know, you've got your phone with you. And some people have that. You know, they got their app. And they pull that out and they read it. Some of us maybe prefer older technology. The old codex, the printed page, which is arguably perhaps a better way to be reading your Bible. But the point here is that we need to be in the Word. It's your lifeline to God. It feeds your soul. How can this prayer be answered if you're not in the Bible? And so receive the counsel of the Word of God this morning. As Jesus commands us in Revelation 3, verse 18, anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. The Son of God, the Spirit rather of God, will open you to fresh and new wonders of the Word, but also give a more spiritual understanding of those wonders. For not only is it a blessing to be able to see by the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit, leads us to what we see here, secondly, that there are wonderful things that are seen. There are wonderful things that are seen. To the child of God who has the Holy Spirit, there are wonderful things to guide you. The Word fills your life with much blessing. The more you understand it, the more you want to follow it. Now, some people, including Christians, might think that following the law, the Ten Commandments, too carefully, well, that's legalistic. That doesn't follow. This is not the way of Psalm 119. It is only a full understanding of God's law that reveals to us the need for the gospel. When you have a low view of the law, that will lead to legalism. But when you have a high view of the law, this makes you a seeker of grace. And that's where we need to remember that the law spoken of here is not just about rules and regulations. The law shows us our sin so that we will see our need for the Savior. The law points us to Jesus Christ. It reveals the full extent of His perfect obedience. As Galatians 4 says, Jesus was born under the law, fulfilling its righteousness, all righteousness. He committed no sin. So let's not forget the joys that we can have when we're satisfied in Christ. Christ brings true satisfaction. And when a young person is satisfied in Christ, he's going to want to do what's right. And that's the wonderful thing that the psalm wants us to see. As one old writer put it, God has made provision for this sense of wonder in His revealed Word. The Bible addresses our senses of wonder by constantly presenting the new and unexpected to us. It sets before us things beautiful and striking. Or as Dr. Sinclair Ferguson put it, God's Word illumined by God's Spirit, as Psalm 119 so magnificently shows, is the pathway to spiritual stability and liberty. It leads us unwaveringly to knowing, loving, and doing God's will on a daily basis. And so just consider how God's Word can do that for you. As the Spirit teaches us in this entire psalm about this, the psalm speaks first of how the Word brings life. The Word brings life. It speaks of how the Word is there to revive us. Notice that in just a couple of the verses that we see that. Under the first letter, Aleph, which is like the Hebrew letter A, or our letter A, speaks of how God's Word blesses us. Verses 1 and 2, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. The stress here is on keeping God's Word. In terms of walking, obeying, and learning, if you want to enjoy God's blessing, then keep His Word. You'll be blessed. This life is also seen in terms of His Word reviving us under the letter Daleth. That's found in verse 25. It says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. That entire section speaks of how the psalmist felt that he was in an alien society where there were liars, verse 19. And he was brought to sorrow. He felt heavy in this world that he was in. And isn't that how it is sometimes for us? You know, we're surrounded by such darkness. People around us are using F-bombs in every sentence, along with all kinds of other colorful language. The Word strengthens you for your work. The Word gives you life. It sustains you through the day and revives your mind. And with this promise, of course, is that beautiful promise of verse 105, which you know probably by heart. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word is a guide. It guides you throughout the day, not just in making your decisions or to deal with the problem, but that you might walk in obedience and be joyful and thankful to the Lord. It's a lamp that shines. Do you want God's ways to be your ways? Does the Word fill your life with His life? That's the blessing. That's the wonderful thing that's promised. The Word brings life by the power of the Spirit. It will bring you spiritual stability. Another wonderful thing that the Word brings is true liberty. It brings true liberty. How does the young man cleanse his way? Going back to the beginning, verse 9, under the letter Beth, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. That gives you hope, young people. The word has the power to purify, verse 9. It helps to restrain you from wandering away, verse 10. It keeps you from sin, verse 11. It also brings you to praise and rejoicing, verse 14. So that the word becomes supreme in your speech and in your thinking. It brings you liberty. It keeps you from your sin. It gives you stability, spiritual stability. The Spirit directs you with it. That's what you need as a Spirit-filled youth. To keep you from the traps of sin and to be cleansed from your sin by looking to the Lord in faith. And this liberty is also found in salvation, another very common theme that's found in this psalm, liberty in salvation, in God's saving work. And that's found under the letter Vav, verse 41. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. God's word reveals mercy, verse 64 under Haith. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. And then also, verse 58, another reason for praise. I will entreat your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. What does he yearn for mercy from the Lord? Well, it's because he knows that there's no success in living for himself. He cries out for mercy, and the Lord promises that mercy. It's found in the word of God, the treasures that are there. The Spirit makes us see again and again that our hope can only be found outside of us. It's not in us. It's found outside of us. It's found in Jesus, who died for our sins and who brings us liberty from our sins and causes us to walk on the path of liberty. The Word of God itself. And one more thing that can be said about this liberty is that it brings a godly fear. It brings godly fear. Look at verses 113 to 120. 113, the psalmist says that he hates the double-minded. The man who follows the word of God just outwardly and conforms to it on the outside, not in his heart. He hates the double-minded. But I, he says, love your law. He wants to do that law rightly from the heart. It's a vain thing to hide disobedience. It's vain to forget that God sees us for who we are anyway. You can't hide from God. That's why he says in verse 120, my flesh trembles for the fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. Compare that with Sheen, verses 161 to 168, where the Word of God also brings that out, that there is to be that fear, that awe. Are you living in that godly fear? Are you living in that liberty? That's what the word is saying here. That's what gives you liberty. It's the wonderful thing that the word of God and the Spirit do for you. You live openly and nakedly before him, before the Spirit of God. Your life is an open book before the Spirit of God. Take the advice of the psalm to heart then today, and you will see wonderful things. And you'll live by them. For not only does the word bring life and liberty, the word also is there to comfort your heart. When things are hard, when there are trials, the word is a comfort to your heart when life is hard. In every circumstance in life, in affliction and in persecution. Ever notice how the psalmist says that in situations like this, where it's difficult, he finds comfort in times of affliction. And that's something that we see, for example, in verse 71, under the letter Taith. Verse 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. God had afflicted him. He's feeling God's blows, but he knows the goodness of the Lord, and the Spirit comforts him. The Spirit is there as a source of encouragement, and he prays that the Lord would bring him comfort under the letter Yod, verse 76. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word to your servant. As well, he prays for help in adversity. Verse 81, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Verse 82, my soul, or my eyes rather, fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? That's under the letter Kaf. You notice how he ends that prayer, that section, verse 88. His answer to all this is, revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. He knows that God is able to deliver him from adversity. But when adversity comes and increases, his faith in God increases, and he perseveres in that word. And so, congregation, you may find right now that you're being afflicted, undergoing chastening. And you know what the psalm means here, and you can identify with it. You're feeling the pain, or you're discouraged and disheartened. Life is not easy. It is full of disappointment, full of problems, full of difficulties. But here's where the Spirit of God promises to bring us the help that we need to be sustained. The Word of God is an anchor for your soul that helps you to get through these rocky times. And when he helps you to get through those rocky times are the lessons that you learn that you're able to take with you in the rest of your life. There are many more wonderful things that the psalm promises to you today that you can take the time to read and to study yourself and to grow in. And they will give you that stability in your life when you follow them. That brings life and liberty. But you see, we need to be people of the Holy Spirit. We need conviction of our sin through the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit to the hope that we have in Christ, who paid the price for us. If you're single, or if you're a senior, you need to be a senior or a single of the Holy Spirit. If you're a parent, you need to be a parent of the Holy Spirit. If you're a child or a young person, you need to be a child and a young person of the Holy Spirit. How can we be like this? Well, the way to have these wonderful things unfolded to us is by reading the Word of God and praying this prayer. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things. By praying this prayer, are you doing this? For the Spirit of God has been given to us that we may know the joys of illumination and may live by His power. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Merciful God, we thank you for your blessings to us today, for this wonderful psalm and for the theme that it has recurring throughout on your word, the law, but how applicable it is to us today as well. We pray that we as well would be people of the Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes, that we may see the wonderful things that are found in your law. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of liberty. Help us to walk in that. We thank you for the hope and comfort that you give us in times of adversity as we call on your name. Help us, Lord, to be humbled by your word, not to become proud or conceited, but to be humbled by your word. Grant that to us, we pray. We ask this all, the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.